Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is your host, Dr. Terry Mason. The show, The Doctor in the House, heard for over 30 years right now on WVON, and we're glad to be here one more time. This is going to be a great show today. We've got some wonderful guests that I want you to meet and some great work that they're doing that we want you to be aware of. And I want to thank all of you who have thus far supported the God's Pharmacy Farm Mission. We will continue to talk about that a little later in the show. But let's go ahead and get started. And I've got a couple very, very interesting ladies that are joining us today. So let's start with Miss Ashley. There, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good, good. Well, I've been told you guys are doing some absolutely fantastic work, and I want you to share that with our audience, because what you guys are doing is just amazing. And actually, there's another tie-in I'll make to you with this before the show is over, so go right ahead.
Okay. Well, it should be some. I'm not sure if someone else is on the line. Is it just me? Could be two of us.
I'm here.
No,
I'm here, Regina.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Regina should be on the line. Regina, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Well, before
and Dale
I want to make sure you
mm-hmm.
both introduce yourselves, say a little bit about what you do, and then we'll get right into the heart of the program. So why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I'll go first, Regina. I'm Dale Kane. I'm the founder and executive director of Advocates for Community Wellness. And we are a faith-based health promotion, disease prevention ministry without walls. We are a grassroots organization consisting of professional health providers, nutritionists, culinary, health education, fitness trainers, nurses, and health providers. I think I said that before. And individuals who have a genuine interest in health and well-being. We have been in existence for 20 years. And over the years, we have evolved and providing four programs. One is our Abso Delicious, Eat Well for Better Health, is managing chronic disease better with nutrition. And our Along the Journey, which we're here to talk about today, our cancer awareness and survivorship program, as well as our Well Woman promotion program, and our mental health awareness and education. And I'm going to turn it over to Regina.
Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here, Dr. Mason. I'm Regina Hopkins. I'm the Director of Health Education and Program Manager for Advocates for Community Wellness. And Dale shared quite a bit, but our mission at Advocates is to reduce barriers to health equity, to decrease health disparities, and also to increase health literacy in underserved populations. We offer holistic services for the mind, body, and spirit, as well as provide supportive resources to help families identify risk factors and manage chronic conditions. And we do that through the education of healthy lifestyles, fitness, and proper nutrition. Personally, I oversee and help to manage the Cancer Awareness and Survivorship Support Program, as well as our Well Woman Program. In addition to that, I also am the lead health educator for the community outreach for the organization.
That was a mouthful. And I know what you guys just said was said very quickly, but I know behind it is tremendous amounts of work and dedication. So I just want to acknowledge that before we go one step further. That was a lot said in that less than 2 minutes, but certainly a lot is being done. So can you tell us just a bit about how you got engaged in this kind of work and the why behind what you're doing?
Well, at the creation of Advocates for Community Wellness, it started out of my own personal health journey. I'll just share, you know, being a middle-aged, being a woman and working full-time, having a family, I was getting into a rut. And I was seeking ways to how I can better impact my health. I attended a wellness program. There was a first time I really had a discussion about, you know, health, wellness, and our body and nutritional deficiency. And I took a couple of their suggestions, and I start seeing a tremendous difference in my how I was sleeping. That was the major thing, wasn't sleeping well, with my energy level. And then as a bonus, it wasn't intended, but as a bonus, slimming down a little bit. And so my friends, family members, and coworkers start noticing it. I was just doing it for my own personal health. And they start asking me what was I doing. And I start sharing it with them, just doing it, you know, just sharing. And I was encouraged by friends that, hey, you know, you should start a nonprofit. And it wasn't on my agenda because my plate was already full, but I did. And I started just doing outreach and taking part in health fairs, community health fairs. The origin of our organization really has surrounded nutrition and discussing nutrition deficiency and how that impacts our health and how that is a link to a lot of the chronic for chronic disease, the link, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, some cancers, strokes. It links to these chronic diseases. It links to our diet. And I'm not saying that it causes it, but what it does, it promotes it, and it and it's not helpful to you know, counteract, you know, what's going on in the body. So with that, in putting together a program and started promoting it, I met, and I was doing it for several years, and I met Regina. And actually, it was at a diabetes education program. I was the nutritionist. I'm a nutritionist by occupation right now. And she was the educator. And Advocates was already established, and I really liked it. It was at a faith-based health center. And I asked her, you know, to come and learn a little bit more about Advocates and what we're doing, because we did community themes, and she did. And so that was the origin of it. And as we have grown and listened to the community, we started creating programs that address their needs and what they were asking for.
Give us a couple of examples of those programs and the need that they met.
Okay, well, one is a lot of people want to know about healthy eating because, you know, we know, most of us know that that's one of the root causes towards the chronic conditions.
And wait a minute, I want you to stop right there. I want you to stop right there. I want you to say that two more times. I want you to say that two more times.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay. So we know that our diet and what we're eating and what's at the end of our fork, it contributes so much to chronic diseases. And one of the major one is heart disease that is triggered, you know, if I may say, triggered by or promoted by high blood pressure. And high blood pressure is related to the amount of sodium that we're consuming. So, and it's not that salt is bad, but it's the amount that is the overload that our body cannot manage. And it caused havoc along our cardiovascular system. And so with that, now you got me in my teaching mode now. But,
well, this is what you're supposed to do. Oh, don't worry. Yeah. You know, because we got, I don't know if you know, but we got a lot of things in common. We'll get to that, but go right ahead.
I know. I met you several times along the path, and I even visit some of your workshops out of Trinity when you were doing those. So, yes, I'm a big fan and promoter of the work that you do, Dr. Mason. Mm-hmm. And so along that line is that, so we started, now when I started the programs, it was on prevention, health prevention. But a lot of the people that were coming to the workshops, they had chronic diseases. They had it, but they had the diagnosis. They had diabetes. They had high blood pressure. They've had cardiovascular disease. And then I start switching, okay, for health prevention, that is stopping it before it starts. Well, and then we switch it to more helping them to manage it better through diet, through fitness, and through health literacy. That's another area is people really understanding. There's a saying, if you really understood what, what's causing your chronic condition, you would be able, or you should be able to manage it if you truly understood. But what I find is that in our workshop, we not only tell them, the what to, you can read that out of a book, and the why to, you can read that out of a book. But what we do, we show them the how to. We create programs that help them and teach them how to do it. So once you get your what, your why, and your how to, it's a better health outcome for the individuals. So that's one, talking, and we attract the people with high blood pressure and especially diabetes, but the one I'm going to talk about is really is cancer. That was another need. I myself, personally, I am a cancer survivor, overcomer, and we wrote a proposal to get some support to, and I had a difficult, rough journey. Actually, I didn't think I was going to make it through the treatment with hospitalization and just how my body was reacting to the treatment plan. So, and I saw many people struggling the same thing, and many people that was in support group did not make it through. They didn't make it through their treatment, and then many people were coming back with second and third reoccurrence in the support group. And when there was an opportunity to create a program, Regina and I put my experience in, and with her knowledge, because she's a healthcare provider, and we put a 9-week program together. I call Along the Journey for the Cancer Awareness, promoting definitely, early screening so saves lives. And I just want to say that my mom, she is a cancer survivor overcomer, and she had a second reoccurrence. And my grandmother had breast cancer. She did not survive her cancer. I'm going to go back one more generation. My great-grandmother had cancer. It was esophagus cancer. And I just want to add, it was not genetic. It was due to our lifestyle, our behavior, because it was not genetically linked. And as we know, is that the large percentage of cancer diagnosis is not currently
is not genetically linked, I believe. On the high end, it's 5 to 10%. So that other 90, 95% is with our lifestyle. I like to start with, like how are we eating and our behavior, what we're doing. So I link two things, diabetes, high blood pressure with diet, and then with cancer, and getting them through that treatment in that first 5 years and beyond.
So where is this done? How do you do this? Is there a center they go to, or how where is this housed, or with whom else do you affiliate with to accomplish this tremendous work?
Well, thank you for asking, but I'm going to ask Regina, because Regina, she does the legwork behind this successful program, and that has connected us with the Hope Leader Award, which I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about that. So, Regina?
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, so specifically with the Cancer Awareness and Survivorship Support Program, there are two components. The first component, as Del shared, is the awareness education. So we go out into the community, although we have a shared office space, all of our programs actually are in the community. So we partner with local churches, local community centers to actually have wellness workshops, as we call them. So with the awareness piece specifically for cancer, we go to various parts of the city, like I mentioned, in churches, community centers, and we do workshops covering cancer awareness, specifically touching on breast cancer, colorectal cancer, prostate cancer, cervical cancer, and lung cancer. And what we do is we provide education on the different risk factors for these particular cancers, signs and symptoms, but most importantly, the recommendations for the screenings, because we know that early screenings do save lives. In our outreach, we really do try to encourage our community members, if you have not had these screenings complete, we definitely encourage them to do so, but we take it a step further, so we do screening surveys to determine who has and has not had their screening. And in our follow-up for our outreach, we actually make phone calls to the participants who have stated they have not had a screening. And we try to identify some of the barriers that have prevented them from getting the screening, whether it was not having medical insurance or not having a primary care provider or just having a fear of having the test completed or not even having the knowledge that they needed the test. So whatever those barriers are, we try to address those barriers by giving them resources so that they can, complete those recommended screenings. So that's the awareness piece for the outreach for the cancer program. Now, the second component is our Along the Journey. This is the Survivorship Support Program. And as Del mentioned, we created this program really to provide resources for support. The goal was to help in such a way to reduce reoccurrence as well as to prolong survivorship for cancer patients. So our program now was designed to target African-American women with breast cancer and lung cancer. And what we do is we offer a 9-week course, and that course right now is virtual, so they can log in the comfort of their own home. And we enroll participants who are anywhere along the continuum, meaning they are newly diagnosed, they're going through treatment, they've met their 5 years. Some of them are 10, 15 years out, but we provide nutrition education specifically focusing on a plant-based diet. So we have a nutritional educator that comes on, on Zoom on the sessions to do nutrition education, speaking about the importance of incorporating a plant-based diet to benefit their nutritional needs. We also offer recipes, along with the nutritional piece for the patients. In addition to that, we offer emotional wellness support. So we have a licensed clinical social worker who leads discussions on depression, anxiety, and just emotional health for the participants. And then finally, we have a physical fitness educator who comes on to do sessions on physical fitness. And she speaks about the importance of staying physically fit despite having a cancer diagnosis. And also, we do segments of light exercise for the participants now. We know that when you have a good diet in place, so when you have emotional support, when you have supportive resources and you're physically fit, research does state when you have these components in place and support for these components, that survivorship is prolonged and reoccurrence is reduced. So that was our goal with the program. So currently right now we are offering the Along the Journey program virtually. We meet for 9 weeks. This is our seventh cohort since we started. This is our second year. So at least three times a year we offer these nine-week cohorts. We've been very successful in reaching women with this program, and we've had many, many compliments on how the program has helped them in such a way that they've been given resources that their own providers, their own oncologists, hadn't shared with them. A final piece to the program is also trying to provide some financial support as well, because we know that there's a financial burden that comes along with the cancer diagnosis. So we're grateful to have support from various funders, local and nationally, who has provided us some resources to be able to give out grants to the patients to cover basic needs such as food access, paying for utilities, you know, paying for your rent, paying for transportation. And in addition to that, you know, during the 9 weeks, we offer other linkages to other resources that will be beneficial for the cancer patients as they're going through their cancer care journey.
Now, is this basically women? Because that's what I heard most of the things related to women issues,
yeah, so,
but are men?
Yeah,
well, in our awareness program, it's open. It's open to the public. But we find, just like church, you know, it's the women. I say it fondly, too. You know, it's predominantly women that come out. You want to add something to that, Regina?
Oh, yes. I was just adding specifically for the Along the Journey, the Now Week cohort. It is specifically for women with breast cancer and lung cancer. But in the awareness workshops, it's open to everyone. However, we've recently launched a third program. It's called Fighting Cancer Together. We received some funding to do some cooking classes for patients with any type of cancer diagnosis. So that includes women and men. And we're starting our second series this month for those cooking classes. So we have a chef that comes out who does a live cooking demonstration along with a nutritionist who once again teaches the importance of healthy eating. And the participants also get take-home groceries after every session. In addition to that, we're also going to be doing some lunch and learns for the cancer patients as well as their caregivers, along with some fitness activities. So for this new program, it's open to anyone, but for the Along the Journey program, when we started it, it was funding that was received specifically for African-American women who had been impacted by breast cancer.
Well, that's fascinating because I'm actually involved in doing some things for men. It actually started out in a number of places, but we've been out in the southern suburbs, so we need to talk more about that and perhaps think about how we might be able to do some things together. Yeah, because and what we've done is move the plant-based thing to the next level, as you know, by actually having a farm and offering a community-sponsored agricultural program where people can purchase either a half share or a share. One's $270, the other's $500. But what you get for that is the farm is located in the southern suburbs, and once we start harvesting, which will be probably, and Mr. Williamson, who's a farmer, the farm manager, he'll be on the show in a little bit. But what we do is you're able to get the foods, and all of our food is grown in a sustainable way. So we do sustainable farming only. We use no organophosphates, pesticides. We use none of these chemicals. We fertilize the plants with our own bees and bee colonies. We do as many things to mitigate against the environmental hazards that using some of these other things will do. And so, and people can get this. And like I said, they get the food every other week for the entire growing season. And that includes whatever we grow. And so last year, in addition to collard greens, kale, spinach, tomatoes, cucumbers, beets and tomatoes and all kinds of other things, we had watermelon. Actually, we had three different color meat watermelons last year. So we had red meat watermelon, we had yellow meat watermelon, and we had a sherbet meat colored watermelon, all natural.
I hope it seeded the watermelon.
Everything, of course. We don't do
okay.
We don't do not
yeah.
stuff. We don't do that because that's not natural. You want, you need the soup.
No. Yes.
Yeah, so, yes. So we do this and been doing it. And actually the program is called God's Pharmacy, spelled F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. And the whole idea is if we eat more out of that pharmacy, we'll need less out of man's pharmacy. And, you know, we also are burdened with constipation. And I looked and saw that the tens of millions of dollars that Americans spends on constipation. And that just really is a marker for me. This is we're not drinking enough water. We're not eating enough fiber. This is wonderful that we do this. And we definitely need to partner. I'll give the information about how to get chairs and stuff toward the end of the show. But this is very, very important. I'm excited that this nutritional approach is integral to what you're doing, because there's no question that most of our diseases have their real origins in the stuff that's at the tips of our forks and knives and some of the other things. Actually, you know, I've done a lot of this stuff, including movies and stuff with other folks. But it's true. Yeah. And my journey started because I ended up with coronary artery issues because I was eating a steak every day. Every day, 7 days a week. And I was eating pizza on top of that. Mm-hmm. So I was just a setup. But I'm grateful to hear that what you guys are doing. Before we go any further, if people listening wish to get in contact or try and locate you, what numbers or websites or what should they do?
Go ahead, Regina.
So our website is www.a4cw.org. So on our website, you'll be able to find all our programs that we've shared today. And if you want a contact number to reach us, you can reach us at 708-300-9072.
You want to give that number again, please?
Yeah. Always twice, right, Dr. Mason?
708-300-9072.
And it's critical. I mean, it's critical to put this kind of information out because we used to do this food summit when I was at the county, and we used to do it at La Loyola. But I think it's time for us to pull together people. The food summit, not to bring all the folks in. That was Neil Barnard, Baxter Montgomery's, everybody to come in that talked about these kinds of interventions, and particularly plant-based interventions. Yeah. And it's, you know, people sort of for what, you know, they always say, oh, no, you won't get enough nutrient. I'm like, oh, no. I won't get into it. Why don't you guys take that thing about, there's not enough nutrients. If you don't eat any meat, you won't get any protein. Please say something about that, because I will.
Okay. Well, there's actually, there's great sources of protein that are plant-based. And I always use an example in my workshop. When we look at some of the strongest and largest animals walking the face of the earth, they are predominantly plant-based eaters. If you look at the bear, it does eat some fish. Okay, but predominantly it's forages, you know, in the elephant, the cows, giraffe. They eat
plant-based.
But majority of them. Okay, and when we think about when we're eating animal protein, you have to think about where are the animals getting their proteins from? They're getting it from the plants, okay? Because the plant if you ever look at a nutritional label on the back of some of your fruits, your vegetables, your dark green vegetables, or even your grains, if you look on there, there is a line for protein. And so the source of the protein is coming from our beans, our legumes, and you can. There's a thought out there that by eating plant-based, you can't get a complete protein, and that these are the essential proteins that the body needs. But you can achieve that with the combination of two or more different grains and beans and greens that you can acquire those that protein in your body. And we know about the others, you know, like soy and tofu and seitan, and you know, there's a tempeh. Those are other sources of plant-based protein. But just from fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes, you can get all the proteins that you need. You have to be more mindful about it, and you have to eat the proper servings and to ensure that you're getting what your body needs.
And it's wonderful. This is music to my ears. Though this is not part of your program, but I always want people, because this program that we've been doing now, Anthony's been doing it, started out as a project over at Vernon Park Church of God, and now it's been moved to a different location, but we're still doing it. And if anybody is interested in getting a share or half share, they all they have to do is just call. We can call the number 24/7. It will go to voicemail, but you will get a call back. Ms. Johnson will call you back, and that number is 872-904-8751. I'll get that number again one more time, because I know some people didn't have their pin yet. And again, this is, just to be clear, this is not associated with the University of Illinois Cancer Center or any other project. This is a standalone project, so I don't want people to misunderstanding. This is what I present over every show that I have. But that number is 872-904-8751. And we've been doing this project. I did this, got involved in this, because we also need to think about how we control our food supply.
And
if you don't grow it yourself, you don't really know what you're getting.
And cook it yourself. You don't know what you're getting. And that's the problem.
That's right.
Because of we're eating a lot of foods from restaurants, fast food restaurants, and then we know about what we call deserts, you know, in certain communities. I know personally, on a personal level, I have to travel about 7 miles just to really get a decent, I'm just talking about a decent sandwich, you know what I'm saying? A decent sandwich, 7 miles, that's, you know, going and coming. And it's just nothing like right here at my, or further away. If I want to get a meal, I have to travel.
We should think about putting something together when we get close to our harvest time, because we've already going to be planting about 1,000 watermelons this year too. So we want to expand that, and we have always a ton of just lots and lots of greens. And it will be, again, you know, even if you go to the website, which is terrymasonmd.org, you can go there, and we'll be uploading, as we get the new pictures up, we'll be uploading the new pictures and videos. But I was out at the farm the other day, and the guys are doing a great job. And also, we hire returning citizens to help with this work. So it is really, you know, it's also a community project. And we do it for the benefit, like you, of the community. And I really want to thank you, people that are helping to sponsor you to do the work that you're doing. And we should, like I said, I'm a U of I alum, for the med school, at least. And we need to talk about how we can do some things together. And yes, I was right. We did what was called Restart for Life at Trinity United Church of Christ for a long time. So we're starting up a new series that we're going to be starting up called Do You Want to Be Well?
Okay.
And I'll be doing. Yeah. And, that's a real question. We will be well be doing this over at a few churches coming up very soon. I'll put that list out very soon for folks to, and I'll put it up on the website too for people to see it. But and you could actually go online, see the shares, buy the shares, do whatever you like to do, right online at terrymasonmd.org. So it comes up under that banner. But this is great. I'm so elated to hear what you guys do. Now, what is your association with the Cancer Center?
Yeah, so we were connected with University of Illinois Cancer Center through their community engagement and health equity program. So after becoming recipients of their Hope Leaders Award, we were able to get connected with the Cancer Center. So just to share a little bit about the Hope Leaders Award, this program, the purpose of this program was to enrich the research training of scientists and also to try to help shape how they're developing research projects that are relevant to the community. So the hope, as we were to say, of this program is to help address the structural realities behind the disparities that we see in cancer outcomes, okay? And we are doing that by helping to build long-term, sustainable community research partnerships. So we've been afforded many opportunities outside of the actual award to be able to work with the University of Illinois Cancer Center to help reach community members with health education, cancer awareness education, also supportive services. That's just a little bit about the Hope Leaders Award that we have become recipients of, but that's how we were able to get connected with the Cancer Center.
Well, we can certainly do some things. I'm a U of I grad, as I mentioned earlier, and work with. That's great. And I work with the previous cancer, the person who was in charge of the cancer center, who really wanted to create that bigger and better community connection, and that was Dr. Nguyen. And I'm really excited about seeing that U of I is engaged in this sort of thing. And that we can make it bigger and we can make it better and we can do some other things and create a propitious niche almost for all of this to be in one place.
Yeah, and I really want to commend them too for really providing that program for community-based because many times it was, and I like the two-way for us, the community to come into the lab and to see what the work that they're doing, and then as well as them coming into the community. And it's such a refreshing for that. And it has just created and building more trust between, between research and one's medical condition like a cancer, because there's a mystery behind it, but also underlining, especially in certain communities and population, there's a mistrust because of historical things that have happened, and nobody wants to be a guinea pig But I want to commend them to create that pathway of communication between the community and the researchers and the lab scientists.
Yeah, and just to even add to that.
We can collaborate on putting together a meeting. No, I said maybe we could collaborate. We can talk about it offline. But, like I said, the food summits that we used to bring in all these different people from all over the country to really talk about the power of plants. Because actually, most of the foods, even at the University of Illinois College of Pharmacology, there is a class called pharmacognosy, and that's all about learning to see the active ingredients in plants that they can turn into medicines. That's where the medicines all come from, for the most part. Yes. So there's a lot, and there are a lot of tentacles with the University of Illinois, in addition to the School of Public Health, where we should maximize a state resource like this to the max.
I just want to share real briefly
about the program.
I just want to share Sorry, Regina. But I want to chime in just one thing what you just said. Regina and I, we're both passionate about what we do. But I just read an article of some research that was coming out about licorice roots for prostate cancer and what success that they were having with that, and that there is, because we know that, you know, the father of medicine is just let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food, and we need to get back to the roots of that. And along the same line, I always share, before the first prescription was ever written, people, they went to their garden, they went to the forestry to get certain barks off of trees and leaves and twigs to make these ointments and these medicinal tinctures, you know. And so it's in the 21st century is us going back and rediscovering those things, and where it's not to replace, you know, the modern medicine, but it's to complement and to integrate it, you know, and give people options.
Well, the thing is that the food is the medicine. Always has been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It always has been, just as the things that you just said. So we don't need to be apologetic about it, because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to stand firmly on it. And because it's the proliferation of foods that are highly processed and changed and things of that nature that are creating the problems. And where you can't say stuff, I can say whatever I want to say.
You're a free agent.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I stay a free agent. But I want let's see. Do we have any callers? I mean, I want to make sure we had a chance to get up. I'm sorry? All right. But this is really, really important. I want you guys to put your phone number out there again, because I want people to understand how they can get in touch, because this wraparound service way that you do this is a very interesting sort of way to approach it.
Okay, our website is A4CW.org is the acronym for our organization, Advocates for Community Wellness. And our telephone number is 708-300-9072. Again, 708-300-9072.
All right. We've got Anthony Williamson, the farm manager for the farm on the line right now. Good morning, Mr. Williamson. How you feeling?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Well, what we're trying to do now is, you know, in that wrap up stage, we still got some time. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give us an update of? I talked a little bit about the farm, and can you give us a little update on what's happening, where you are, and what we expect the people to do?
Well, we're about 65% planted. Still got the watermelons, haven't did the corn or the string beans. So that's where we're at right now. As you know, we're on two locations. We're out there on 5 or 6 acres in Beecher and 3 or 4 acres over here in Cook County. And so now we left the Beecher property, and we're working over here at the Chicago Heights. And we're going to put the kale and the collard greens over here. And we'll be able, since it's warmer now, we'll be able to plant something. We were doing a lot of seedlings, but now we can plant some things through just direct sow with seeds, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's going to be, you know, a pretty good year this year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell about what, just real quickly, a summary of some of the things that I tried to give a little summary of earlier from last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But each year is different, you know. And, you know, that's one thing about farm. It's all about adaptability. And so you just adapt to the conditions, you know, and things generally work out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And what are you expecting in terms of the crop for this year, Mr. Williamson? What are we expecting?
Two different types of tomatoes, the big red ones, some Romas, a few heirlooms, Cherokee, tomatoes. And bell peppers, banana peppers, both hot banana and the mild banana peppers, red, yellow bell peppers, jalapenos, habaneros, Swiss chard, kale, collard greens, corn, watermelons, cantaloupes.
So on the line, I have some folks from the University of Illinois Cancer Center, and we've just had a great conversation about the role that good food plays in the treatment of cancers and other diseases. So what we all need to do is get together and meet out there once we get a little further down the road and ready for some harvest so folks can see exactly what's going on.
Yeah, we would love to do a visit on the farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll
we're
do
out
that.
Here right now.
You're out there right now.
Well, that's 7 days, right?
Yep. Yeah, right now you kind of run behind. And so you try to, you know, stay on path. Because one thing about the CSA, the food is prepaid for. And so you want to make sure that people, you know, get what they pay for. So sometimes you got to go the extra mile. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you located?
We're in Chicago Heights. And we also doing some farming in Beecher. We're hoping to acquire some more land in the Cook County area in the near future. It's looking real promising.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody. Let's see where we are time-wise here. I don't want to I think maybe a little bit over our time. But I want to make sure I put the number out for people that want more information. You can always go to www.terrymason.org, or you can call the number to sign up, and that's 872-904-8751. You call that number anytime you like, and it'll be answered. And we'll give you all the details that you might want. You'll be able to talk to somebody about it. Talk to Ms. Johnson, and she'll take you through it. And she'll call you back. May not answer right away, but we will call you, always call you back, because it goes to voicemail. That way we can make sure we get everybody an opportunity. I want to thank our guests. They've just done such a fantastic job of what they're doing, and they're integrating plant-based foods into the program. Anthony, I don't know how much of the program you got a chance to hear, but they're actually being very deliberate about the role that plant-based food plays in getting better. And they are doing this. And if you want to just give Mr. Williamson just a quick 1 minute version of what we're doing, because we're running out of time. Right here.
Yeah, if I can add something, just to acknowledge that today is National Cancer Survivors Day. Since we're talking about, you know, cancer and nutrition, and I wanted to really share about the importance of nutrition, also some of the research that we're sharing with the collaboration that we have with one of the research teams through the Hope Leaders Program, is the importance of having a healthy gut microbiome. And we know that what we eat contributes to a healthy gut microbiome, as well as having adequate vitamin D levels. So we're understanding the importance of having those two things in place, those two components, to be able to achieve a state of health, to be able to reduce cancer risk, and also to reduce reoccurrence. So as we've been discussing, nutrition is the highlight of our program, but it is very important in terms of cancer reduction as well as cancer survivorship, just in acknowledgement of today being National Cancer Survivors Day.
Well, we want you to continue doing the work, and this is going to be our last. Won't be our last time having a conversation, because we're coming down to the last 4 minutes of the show. But go ahead, and Mr. Williamson, did you have anything you wanted to add before we let the ladies kind of close out?
No.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to add what Regina was saying about the microbiome and vitamin D, but it was said once, and I find it to be true, that disease starts in the gut, in the stomach. And so, and it's what we're putting in the stomach that supports our immune system to fight off, you know, certain conditions. So I just want to add that about that link about disease starting in the stomach.
Well, that's a great, great, great point. You guys want to give your phone number for the program at the UIC?
We don't have a we're not at UIC. We have a collaboration with UIC through the Hope Leaders program. But Advocate's phone number, it was mentioned. I can mention it again if anyone wants to contact us.
Absolutely, please do.
It's 708-300-9072. Once again, that's 708-300-9072. And even calling a number to find out more about the Hope Leaders program and the connection that we have with the one of the research scientists that's conducting that research, actually centered on nutrition, vitamin D deficiency, as well as the prevalence of breast cancer among African Americans. We can definitely share more about that, more information about the collaboration that we have through the Hope Leaders program with their research scientists.
Well, we look to make sure that we get a chance to get some of the vegetables that are growing without pesticides and in a sustainable environment and things of that nature in terms of its mitigation of these things as well over time. So there's opportunities for us to do a lot of different things, and I'm excited about it, very, very excited about it. And Mr. Williams, we'll keep, you know, if you keep posted with us on WVN every Sunday, we'll get an update of where we are and when we're starting with the actually harvesting and when food will be available. Again, that number for anybody who wants to take part in that, that's 872-904-8751. And so you can call that number 24 hours a day, and we'll get back to you and give you the information. And we want to get started, get moving, because we want to make sure that we are growing what we need in terms of volume. Mr. Williams has already promised us a bumper crop, because he's always done a great job. Just an I call him God's anointed farmer, because that's what he he is. And you guys will all come out. Maybe if we're lucky, we can be able to get Mr. Williamson to make some of his famous kale salad from the kale that gets just picked from the ground and made it to a certain spot. So, you know, there's a lot. You don't get it fresher than that. And I thank him for what he's doing. Again, I want to give the number one last time. The number is 872-904-8751. And that's all the time we got. I want to thank you, ladies, for being on the show. Thank you again, Mr. Williamson, for the updates. It's really important. And now we're going to get the transition to spiritual food by way of gospel music with our host. Mm-hmm. The next host you're going to hear is that of Ms. Pam Morris Walton. Come in and make a joyful noise over the radio. And until next week at this same time and station, may God continue to bless each and every one of you with continued help as we leave you now in peace.
Amen.
Chicago is 1690.